Your next speaker is Eddie Parrish.
One would be hard-pressed to find words more tragic than those of John 12:37. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. But those of whom those words were said so long ago are not a whole lot different than some people today. Though the record of the signs of Jesus are before us, though we have them in Scripture, not just the signs, but the teachings, the lessons, the acts of compassion and benevolence, though all of the things that Jesus did are recorded for us, or all of those things that are recorded for us, we have them, yet many still do not believe in Him. We've been studying the past several weeks from the Gospel account of John about the claims of Jesus, the claims that John recorded, what Jesus claimed about Himself and His relationship to the Father and His relationship to the needs of people, His relationship to the hope of the Messiah from Old Testament prophecy. We've looked at the evidence that supported the claim, such as the miracles that He performed, the evidence of Scripture, fulfilled prophecy, the evidence of the resurrection, and yet still some do not believe. Why is that the case? Why are there some who still do not believe? Why were there some then who still didn't believe, even in the face of, in the presence of all of the things that Jesus said and did? Well, John mentioned several reasons. And in this concluding lesson of this series, I want for us to look at the reasons that John highlights in his gospel account, reasons why many did not believe. And I think we'll see that the same reasons that existed then exist even today in the hearts of a lot of folks. Why did some not believe? Number one, a lack of spiritual perception. A lack of spiritual perception. We find over and over again in John's gospel account that there were folks who simply did not think spiritually. They didn't think about things on a spiritual level. They could not, many of them, get past the physical nature of some of the examples and teachings that Jesus used and get to the deeper spiritual meanings. Let me offer some examples of that. Chapter 6, Gospel of John, chapter 6, beginning verse 26. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you're seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on Him God the Father has set His seal." Jesus had fed the people the day before with physical sustenance. But He did that to get them to embrace His teachings. That's what His signs, His miracles were for. And the miracle of the feeding of those thousands of people was designed to get the people to believe in what He taught. And they come to Him the next day and they didn't, all they could think about, all they were thinking about were the physical things. And He brought that to their attention. He said, "You're seeking me not because you saw the signs." In other words, you're not coming to me based upon your grasp of what the miracles I've done were intended to teach. You simply ate your fill of the loaves and you want some more. There was a lack of spiritual perception among these people. But it wasn't just the crowds generally. It wasn't among just the enemies of Christ that this was the case. Even some of His non-enemies exhibited this same lack of spiritual perception at times. What about Nicodemus? Jesus said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." John 3:3-5. Nicodemus couldn't get past the example to the spiritual underlying truth. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus' response in part was, Nicodemus, you're thinking too much about physical things. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, physical things are physical things, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritual birth. But Nicodemus didn't have that spiritual perception that he needed. How about the woman at the well? John 4, Jesus comes and has this conversation with her. And he said to her, if you would have asked me, I would have given you living water that'll quench your thirst forever. What was her response? You don't even have a bucket to draw with. He wasn't talking about physical water. And he tried to help her to see that, but even still, she didn't grasp the spiritual implications of it. And she said, well, sir, give me this water that I can drink it and not have to come back here and keep drawing out of this well. Lack of spiritual perception. What about the disciples? Same chapter, chapter 4. After Jesus had this conversation with the woman, the disciples, you remember, had gone off to find food. And they come back and they say to him, Rabbi, eat something. And he said to them, I've got food to eat that you know not of. The text says, long about verse 32 and 33, the disciples began to talk among themselves and said, did somebody bring him something to eat? We don't know about? What's he talking about? They were still focused in on the physical, and that's not what he was talking about. So there seems to be, and John seems to draw attention to this over and over and over again in his account of the life of Christ, that there was a lack of spiritual perception among a lot of the people that Jesus encountered, friends and enemies alike. Well, does that describe some folks today? Is there an emphasis today on physical things as opposed to spiritual? People haven't changed much. Sometimes people approach the church to provide for their physical needs. And we need to do that when people are in need. But some want only that. They don't want spiritual things. They don't have an interest in things that are more important. Some want the church to provide their entertainment for them at the expense of a spiritual emphasis. And when they don't receive that spiritual emphasis, they'll go somewhere else. So what do? Do you change the spiritual emphasis of the church? Or do you try to help people to recognize that the spiritual is the most important? We need to have a spiritual perception and outlook on things, and not just things physical. Why did some disbelieve? Number two, fear. Fear. Some were afraid of what others would think if they followed Jesus. Luke chapter 7, verse 13. Text says, for fear of the Jews, no one spoke openly of him. Chapter 9, beginning in verse 20. The parents of the man that had been born blind that Jesus healed, his parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself. Verse 22 says, his parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. So the parents of this man refused to speak of Jesus specifically as the one responsible for healing their son because they feared other people. So we have chapter 7, chapter 9. How about chapter 12, verses 42 and 43? where John records that even many of the rulers believed in him. But they would not confess it, lest they be put out of the synagogue. That phrasing, terminology, being put out of the synagogue is a reference to basically an excommunication, withdrawal of fellowship, if you will. Kicked out of the synagogue, kicked out of their worship place. And because of that, many people then, though they really deep down embraced Jesus or at least believed that He was indeed the Messiah, they weren't about to say anything because they were afraid. Does that happen today? Some are afraid of ridicule. Some afraid of losing friends. Some perhaps afraid of the political correctness police or something else. And because of that, refuse to confess Christ. There's a proper place for fear, but not of men. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men do unto me. Hebrews 13:6. Number three, why did some not believe? Because of misplaced love. Misplaced love. We find in John's account, some were guilty of loving the wrong thing. Chapter 5, verses 42 and 43. Jesus plainly said, "You don't have the love of God within you." Those that were in the process of rejecting Him. You don't have the love of God in you. Chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. Jesus spoke of those who loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Chapter 12, verse 43. Those who loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. You see, if our love and our devotion's in the wrong place or in the wrong person, it can lead us to not believe and not have proper faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And again, same things happen today. Paul would write about Demas, 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, who loved this present world, and because of that left Paul and his companions. In direct opposition to what John would write, 1 John 2, verse 15, love not the world. Some love their jobs, their hobbies, their relaxation, their immorality, their popularity, their pocketbooks, more than they love God. And that simply cannot be. Why did some not believe? Lack of spiritual perception. Fear. Misplaced love. Number four, some because of hard hearts. Some disbelieved simply because their hearts were hardened to the message. They were blinded by some kind of prejudice or simply a seared conscience. Notice in chapter 11, beginning in verse 46, at the occasion of the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead, we read, some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. These were some that had witnessed the resurrection of Lazarus. They went and told the Pharisees. So, 47, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs." If I may interject here in answer to their question, a large philosophical term. Duh. What are we to do? This man does many signs. The answer is, you believe him. The answer is, you follow him. The answer is, you do whatever he says. That's what the signs were intended to produce. Faith, trust. What shall we do? This man does many signs. Follow him. But, just a few verses later, verse 53, their reaction was, from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. You notice they didn't argue with the evidence. They didn't say, this man thinks he does miracles. They didn't say that the people think this guy does a lot of good things. They said, this man does many signs. How could they argue with that? You've got Lazarus, a previously dead man, walking again among the living. Their hearts were just hardened. They didn't want to believe. As evidenced by what takes place in the next chapter, John 12, beginning in verse 9. When the large crowd of the Jews learned that he, Jesus, was there, they came, not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So here was a gathering of Jesus and others, and Lazarus was there. And obviously, as word spread that this man had been raised from the dead, people would like to see that. And so here they came, not only to see Jesus, but also Lazarus. But, verse 10, so the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. See, the evidence didn't mean anything to these people. It didn't matter. It didn't matter if he had raised the whole cemetery. It would have just made their hit list a little longer. They wanted to put Lazarus to death too because he was evidence. And people were believing in the evidence and following after Jesus. Evidence was irrelevant to them, and with some today, it is. You ever known somebody that can read something in their own Bible and say, I know it says that, but surely we don't have to do that. I know it says that you have to do that, but I don't really think we have to. Evidence to some is irrelevant because of hard hearts. And in such cases, what do you do? Didn't Jesus in the parable of the sower mention the hard-packed soil, the wayside soil, that seed was scattered on but it didn't penetrate? Birds came and devoured it, took it away. You know, the quality of the seed makes no difference on hard-packed ground. Quality of the seed doesn't matter. It can be the best seed in the world. The ground's too hard, it's not going to help. The amount of seed is not going to make any difference on hard ground. Same is true with some people. If their hearts are hardened, it doesn't matter the quality of the seed, which is the best that there is. Nor will it matter the amount of the seed. If the heart is hardened, the seed won't penetrate. Number 5. Why did some disbelieve? Some because of ignorance. I want you to look with me to chapter 7. John 7, beginning verse 40. John 7, beginning verse 40. When they heard these words, some of the people said, this really is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, is the Christ to come out of Galilee? Has not the Scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was? So there was a division among the people over him. As some of these people were reasoning among themselves about whether or not to believe in Jesus, did you notice some of them said, well, wait a minute, doesn't the Scripture say that the Messiah would come from the offspring of David out of Bethlehem? Yes, they were right in that. The Scriptures did teach that. Micah 5:2. But because they were ignorant of the facts about Jesus, that he actually was born there. He grew up in Galilee, yes, but was born in Bethlehem in fulfillment of that prophecy. But the people were ignorant of that. They didn't know that. And their ignorance of the facts, instead of leading to faith in him, led to division. There's an entire lesson in that. Sometimes ignorance of facts leads to division in the body. We need to watch that. Be careful about that. But our point here is that ignorance led some to not believe in Jesus. There's a lot of ignorance today. Many don't read their Bibles. Many take their cues from other folks who don't properly understand their Bibles. Some make little effort to study for themselves. They just simply accept what they're told. We can't ever let ourselves be that. We can't let ourselves reach that point. We need to be like the Bereans and search the Scriptures to see if these things are so. Acts 17:11. Don't ever listen to what I say and take it for gospel truth just because I say it, or anybody for that matter. You search the Scriptures. Don't search the Brotherhood to see if these things are so. Don't search the periodicals and the magazines. Search the Scriptures. You'll find that the Scriptures really shed a lot of light on those commentaries we've all got. Ignorance. Don't let it doom you. Do you believe in Jesus? If not, it could be because you lack spiritual perception. Perhaps it's fear. Perhaps your love and devotion is misplaced. Perhaps your heart is hardened. Perhaps it's ignorance. Yet Jesus offers you an opportunity to enjoy a lot of blessings. Among the things that He offered in John's account, fellowship with God, chapter 14, verse 6, no man comes to the Father but by Me. He offered salvation from sin. Except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. Chapter 8, verse 24. Well, the converse of that would have to be true. You believe in Me, you'll have your sins forgiven. You won't die in sin. Guidance through life. Chapter 8, verse 12. I'm the light of the world. He that believes in Me, he that follows Me, shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Chapter 6, verse 35. He who comes to Me shall never hunger. Spiritual sustenance Jesus offers. Abundant life. Chapter 10, verse 10. I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Chapter 11, verse 25. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believes on Me, though he die, yet shall he live. Jesus offers all of those things. And so don't let the Lord say to you, as He did to some in His own day, chapter 5, verse 40, you will not come to Me that you might have life. He's offering you the opportunity to enjoy spiritual life. Why don't you let Him give you that gift by trusting Him, repenting of your sins, being baptized, having confessed your faith in Him?